gives me goosebumps. That also makes me want to turn into a Baptist costal tonight. Amen? And I'm telling you, folks, that is some good stuff. And listen, by the way, you don't have to have a bunch of drums and electric guitars and strobe lights to be worshiping the Lord. Amen? By the way, when that goes on, something's getting worshipped, but it ain't the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell you that. Let me tell you, that right there, man, I don't know what you were feeling when I sang that script, when we were singing that scripture song, but man, the Holy Spirit was flowing there, amen? And that's good stuff, and I hope that you have a good relationship with the Lord, amen? All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, and we are going to start in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We are on our midweek services. We've been studying through the book of Proverbs and different ways you can study this book. And you can study it topically. You can study it chapters. But how we're studying it, we are studying it by the people of Proverbs, the characters of Proverbs. And if you read through these 31 chapters, the Bible lists for us several different types of people that are mentioned in the book. I believe there's a total, I think it's 36 different people, and some of them are men, some of them are women. And so we've been kind of going back and forth in the different weeks, kind of going between the groups of men, the groups of women. And so last week we talked about the happy man and the angry man. We looked at those and contrasted them. And so tonight we're going to go back to the female side. Amen. And by the way, even though that we do talk about, and the Bible does clarify these as men and women, truth be told, the principles apply in most cases to both. And so, man, that doesn't mean you can take the night off, all right? Doesn't mean you can just go ahead and say, see you later, preacher, we're out of here. No. Amen. This is good for all of us. And so, but we are going to look at two particular women mentioned in the scripture tonight. And so, if you find your place, stand with me, please, for the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 14, and we're going to read just one verse, and then we'll get into the Bible study. Beginning verse 22. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 22. The Bible says this, "Do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good." Do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we love you. We ask you to help us tonight. Lord, we need to hear from you, God. Would you speak to us, Lord? Would you meet with us tonight, Lord, as we open your word for a few moments? Lord, please, you tell us that the entrance of your word bringeth forth light. Lord, we need our minds enlightened to truth tonight. And ask, God, that you teach us some things through your word. Help us, Lord. Spirit of God, speak to our hearts, Lord. If there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, through your word, draw them to yourself, and may they accept you before it's eternally too late. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, we're going to see here tonight, as we go through this journey, talking about the evil woman. Not every verse particularly calls her out as says evil woman. Sometimes it just says the word evil. So again, it applies to both cases here, but there are some specific verses to talk about that. And so let's jump right into it tonight. First of all, what does the word evil mean? It's important we define that because, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, it's important that you understand that different words in the Bible mean different things, okay? For example, sometimes people try to lump evil and sin in the same group. And truth be told, there's a difference between sin and evil. Sin, the word sin simply means to miss the mark. And every single person, we're all sinners. And by the way, you don't choose to be a sinner. You're born a sinner. Amen? And that's why I tell people when I witness to them about being saved, you don't have to do anything to go to hell. We're born on the road to hell because of our sin. Amen? And that's all of us. Everybody's a sinner. But evil is a step above sin. Evil means a deviation of a moral agent from the rules of conduct prescribed to him by God or by legitimate human authority. A deviation of a moral agent from the rules of conduct prescribed to him by God or by legitimate human authority. It also means bad, wretchedness, wrong. So here's the best way, based upon what the Bible teaches when you compare all the verses, that evil, sin is to err, it's to miss the mark, it's to fall short. Evil is when things are calculated and things are planned. And there's a difference between sin and evil. And so what we're going to particularly talk about tonight is the evil woman. The evil woman, what the Bible has to say about that. So let's look at a verse we just read, Proverbs 14, verse 22. Look at the first part of that verse. It's a question. Do they not err? Notice this. that devise evil? Now, that is a rhetorical question. And he's asking, Solomon here asking that question, do they not err? Are they not making a mistake? Are they not not being what they should do when they devise evil? And here's the first thing you see about an evil woman is that she plans evil. Plans evil. See that word devise? It means to think about. It means to be cunning about. And that is what an evil woman, evil man, anybody that's evil that they do, they plan evil. Proverbs 16, verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Proverbs 24, 8, he that deviseth to do evil. Again, see how those words are in there, devising, digging up. These are mean that it's calculated, it's planned. Now, when I think about an evil woman in the Bible, I can't help think about the number one woman that comes to mind, and probably more than likely the same one that comes to your mind, all right? And I know you think the name is Hillary. I meant Jezebel, amen? Jezebel, and synonymous there, by the way, amen? And no, I don't apologize for saying that, okay? If they want to kick me off Facebook and YouTube, you go right ahead, amen? And like I said before, if that camera ever thinks it's going to dictate what I'm saying or preaching from this pulpit, I'll take a baseball bat and knock it across the courthouse lawn. Amen. And so, but no, Jezebel, and we don't have for sake of time to go back there, but 1 Kings chapter 21, man, who was Jezebel? She was the wife of Ahab. By the way, this was the king of Israel, and she does have the title as queen, but you never see God giving that title of queen to anybody in the Bible, okay, as far as God prescribing that title. It was a self-prescribed title here, and Jezebel, of course, was that evil wife to the evil Ahab. And if you read about those two, in fact, the Bible tells us that they worked more wickedly and provoked God to anger more than any other king or leadership in Israel that had ever been. That's how wicked and evil they were. And if you read the story in 1 Kings chapter 21, you read the story of where Ahab wanted a vineyard. It didn't belong to him. He coveted that vineyard. It belonged to a man named Naboth, and he wanted that vineyard. But you know what? Naboth wouldn't sell it to the king because of the fact that it was part of his inheritance. He wasn't allowed to sell it. But the king, you know what he did? He didn't get his way, and he went into his room, and he started pouting about it. And then Jezebel came in and wanted to know why the king was all upset. Usually it's vice versa sometimes, right? Amen? But no, in this case, it was Ahab, and Jezebel comes in, and they devise a plan. She devises a plan to have Naboth lied about and then murdered, and then for Ahab to steal the vineyard. And you know where all that came from? Came from the mind of Jezebel, okay? And you see an illustration of a woman who planned evil. And folks, let me just say this, okay? That's why it's so important. By the way, you can be saved and still have evil imaginations in your heart and still connive to do evil. In fact, I'll be honest with you, sometimes some of the worst evil that I've experienced in my life doesn't come from lost people, it's literally come from saved people. I'm going to tell you, that's why it's so dangerous, folks, to not stay right with the Lord in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, you give the devil an inch, he's going to stink and take a mile, amen? That's what he does. And you give him one little foothold in your life, before long, he's sitting in your living room in your recliner chair, amen? That's what the devil will do. And so evil people, particularly the evil woman, the evil man, they plan evil. They devise it, and they come up with it. What else do we see here? Go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. And again, folks, we're not doing exhaustive studies, but we're just kind of highlighting some of this stuff. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. Here's the second thing we see about the evil woman. And by the way, this all stuff goes hand in hand. It goes from planning. So that means this. It's something that's in the heart. It's something that's in the mind. Okay, that's where it starts at. And then notice how it escalates. By the way, that's what sin always does. It starts out small, and before you know it, it's out of control. Kind of like that snowball, you start pushing the snow. Thank God we didn't have to know anything about that this year, amen? But like that snowball, and I remember as a kid building snowmen, and the more you pushed it, the bigger and bigger it got. That's what happens when you give place to evil in your life. Look what it says, Proverbs 15, 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. By the way, that's the positive of the verse, amen? And that's the right thing to do. Now, that's the righteous thing that you study to answer, but the mouth of the wicked, notice this, poureth out evil. Poureth out evil. And so what's the second characteristics we see? An evil woman, she speaks evil. It goes from here to the imagination of the heart, of the mind, thinking it, planning it, to then talking about it. Talking about it. And again, folks, listen to me. We've got to be so careful as Christians, the things that we allow to come out of our mouths. Amen? Talking about particularly evil things. And by the way, evil things aren't always what the world thinks evil is. Now, no doubt, things like murder and that kind of thing, evil, absolutely. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible has a lot to say about evil and how that, you know, it's not always just the fact that you're conniving to hurt or kill somebody. Sometimes just by speaking words of slander, words of backbiting, words of gossip. Let me tell you, folks, that can hurt and destroy, and that's just as evil as something else could be. Amen. And you got to be so careful about the words come out of your mouth. And that's why it's important you protect your heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Listen, come on now. If you keep your heart right, that's the source of it all. And if you don't have a corrupt source, then you won't have corrupt things coming out of the source. So you keep your heart right. Because if not, if you begin to think about evil and plan evil, then evil will start flowing out of the mouth. By the way, notice what it said, poureth out evil things. Poureth out. It's like projectile vomiting. And I know that's not a very pretty picture to think about. But you know what? Neither is evil words flowing out of somebody's heart either. By the way, they do a lot of damage. The old saying, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. So she plans evil, she speaks evil. Then go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. By the way, a Bible illustration of that, Matthew chapter 14, would be Herod's wife Herodias. Who was Herodias? She was the wife of Herod. She's the one that spoke evil to Herod about having John the Baptist's head cut off. And her daughter flaunted herself and danced in a very suggestive, inappropriate way in front of the king and the people there. And the king was such a pervert, it pleased him so well, he made her a foolish promise. I'll give you anything you want. So she goes and conspires with her mother. And Herodias says, I'll tell you what you tell him. We want the head of John the Baptist in a charger. They talk about speaking evil, amen. Let's have the greatest prophet that's ever been. Let's have his head cut off. And she spoke it. By the way, it happened. Amen, it happened. All right, you there? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Notice what the Bible says. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Talking about here the wrong crowd, or as we're going to see, the evil crowd. For their feet, notice this, run to evil and make haste to shed blood. So here's what you see. Here's the escalation, okay? It goes from devising and planning to speaking, and then before long, guess what? You're doing. Okay? Doing. She does evil. Again, notice what it says. For their feet, notice this, run to evil. By the way, not from evil, to evil. They're not getting away from it. They're going to it. By the way, it's not just a suggestive, or a little walk here. No, the Bible says they run to it. It's almost like once you give yourself over to that, listen, Katie barred the door, anything could happen. And isn't that so true? And folks, that's just how sin and evil is. What seemingly is such a small thing, before long, if you don't take care of it and deal with it and stay right with God and close with God, it literally, what you think you're controlling is literally dominating your life. That's what evil does. And so the evil woman, she plans, she speaks, she does. Now, what are some characteristics? So how you can identify somebody, okay? Again, folks, I'm not saying from time to time, there's not one of us that probably hasn't, you know, done some of this stuff. We're not talking about, you know, falling into something and maybe you got tricked by the devil like we all have from time to time, or maybe made a bad decision here or there. We're talking about someone who's, it's a habitual pattern in their life. And by the way, you got to use the Word of God as the standard to determine what the character traits of someone like this is. Again, well, judge not that you be not judged. That's not what the Bible tells us. All right, let's study the context of that phrase, judge not that you be not judged, all right? Let's keep reading, okay? No, it's not that you don't make judgment calls. It's just this, you better make sure that what you're judging about, that sin's not in your life as well, amen? All right, here you go. What's the characteristics of someone, particularly an evil woman? All right, you there? Proverbs chapter 12. I forgot to tell you where to go. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs 12. And let's look at this. And these are the characteristics that will determine what the Bible has to say about evil. Notice what it says. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 20. All right, y'all warm in here tonight? Or is it just me? Is it warm a little bit? No? No? Yeah? A little bit? Okay. Brother Dave, help me out there, will you? Okay, we won't get it too chilly. We'll just get a little air flowing, okay? All right, okay? You there? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. Notice what the Bible says. Deceit is in the heart of them, notice this, that imagine evil. But to the counselors of peace is joy. So here's the first characteristic that you see is deceit. Deceit. Again, what is deceit? Deceit is exactly what we think it is. It's deception. It's lying. It's something appearing to be one way, presenting it one way, and it's something completely different. And by the way, folks, that is one of the devil's number one character traits he uses in life is deception. That's what he'll do. And he's a very deceptive person. And by the way, people that are evil are taken from their father, character traits from their father. Amen. Deceit. All right, you got to be very careful about people who are trying to deceive. Okay, now folks, let me just help you with this. All right, I think you know this, at least we ought to know this. But you know what one of the first characteristics you'll have in your life when you begin to walk the Christian walk and the Spirit-filled walk is that of honesty. Of honesty, of truthfulness. I mean, come on, folks, that's the very title of our God. The fact that He is the way, the truth. Okay, I mean, folks, listen, literally one of Jesus' titles is that of truth. So if there's any untruth involved in it, you better start sniffing a little bit because you're going to smell brimstone because it ain't coming from God. It's coming from the very father of lies himself. Amen. And evil people, particularly evil women are deceitful. Deceitful. They're trying to deceive. They're trying to appear a certain way. And if we had time, we could go read the verses there in Proverbs chapter 7 of that young man who literally was pulled into the web of the strange woman, and you read about her, that was a planned, calculated move to take down that young man. And she lied to him, and all the stuff that's listed in Proverbs chapter 7. So evil people are deceitful people. What else do we see here? Proverbs 13:19. Flip over there, if you will. And this, we're kind of just jumping through the book of Proverbs. But listen, I want you to see it. I want you to see what the Bible says, so you'll never want to have this in your life. Proverbs 13, verse 19. Look what it says. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it's an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Did you hear what that said? It's an abomination. Now, most of the time, you hear the word abomination, and that means what most context that is used in is when it's talking about referring to things that God detests, God hates. It's the highest form of word that God has for hate in the Bible, an abomination. But notice here, it's not referring to God. It's referring to a fool who refuses to depart from evil. Like, to them, that's the worst thing they could do is to depart from evil. So what's the characteristic here of someone who is evil? They're also foolish. Foolish. Okay? They're called a fool because fools and evil go hand in hand. Okay? It's an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Proverbs 14:16. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man feareth, and notice this, and departeth from evil. Okay, so you have the antithesis of this verse. Okay, fools don't want to give up evil, but wise men depart from evil. Okay, it's that simple. It's that black and white. All right, if you're on the right side, if you are walking with the Lord and you're right with God, you're going to depart from evil. If you're foolish, you're on the wrong side, you'll be drawn to evil. You won't want to stop doing evil. Okay? And so, again, an evil woman is deceitful, is foolish. Proverbs 16:27. Go there. Proverbs 16:27. Notice what the Bible says. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Okay? Here's another adjective described to the evil person. Is they're ungodly. Ungodly. Okay, what's that mean? It means exactly what your King James Bible says it means. Ungodly or not godly, okay? Isn't the King James so hard to understand, by the way? Amen? An ungodly man diggeth up evil. Again, you see here the clear distinction. Let me tell you what our world's doing today. They're trying to blur the lines between good and evil. In fact, is that what Jeremiah prophesied? That there would be, they would call good evil and evil good. And that is the world we're living in. I mean, they are trying to now make the people that say certain things are not right, we're the bad guys. And the ones that stand for wrong, they're the good guys. I mean, all over our world we're seeing this happen. I mean, it's ridiculous, all the different things that's happened and going on. And folks, let me tell you what that is. That's not just depravity, that's evil. That's evil. What's happening in the halls of our Congress is evil. When you get people that literally are championing for and that the right to murder innocent babies in a mother's womb, that's evil. It's evil. When you have people championing the tearing down the walls between men and women and removing the boundaries of marriage between man and a woman, listen, folks, that's not depravity, that's evil. And we're living in a world filled with evil. And so another characteristic of someone who's evil, the evil woman, deceitful, foolish, ungodly. How about this verse, Proverbs 24, verse 8. Proverbs 24, verse 8. Notice what else we see. Here's another adjective used to describe someone who's evil. It says this, He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. Proverbs 24, verse 8. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. And there's the word mischievous. Okay. Now sometimes we use that word in a more of a mild manner than what the severity of it is here used in this verse. Like if a little kid or so, oh, they're just kind of mischievous. It just means they're looking to get into mischief. Okay. But no, it's not just a little word here used in this verse. Again, it's a word that goes back to that of devising things, of thinking of things, trying to find ways to get into mischief or to cause mischief. And that's, again, a sign of someone who is evil. All right, let's keep moving. I got a lot more verses to cover. Proverbs 16, verse 6. Proverbs 16, verse 6. This is a big one. This is a real big one here, okay? And in fact, the Bible has a lot to say, and we're going to probably do a whole Bible study on this one right here. But notice what it says. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the way, folks, that's purged as far as talking about being done away with, and iniquity and sin and evil and wickedness will never be done away with unless you find those two things, mercy and truth. And that's why truth is, in our day and age, trying to be redefined. You know, the world wants to tell us truth. There's no absolute truth and all this and all that. You know why? Because if truth ever abounded, by the way, along with mercy, okay, it's not just truth, it's mercy and truth, then you know what would happen if truth and mercy would be prevalent? Iniquity would be done away with. By the way, folks, that's why it's never going to happen, completely done away with, until the King of Kings comes to set up His kingdom. Because let me tell you, right now, this world we're living in, it's just not there. Mercy and truth. In fact, I mean, isn't it crazy? You can't even believe anymore things that you see or things that you hear because of the deception that's out there. I mean, literally, what AI is turning into, it's literally turning in. In my opinion, AI is controlled by devils. That's what I believe. And probably the devils that used the people to help invent it, and then the devils that are actually in it. In fact, this week I watched an interview, and somebody sent it to me. I forget who it was, but someone sent me an interview this week where they did an experiment with AI, and they were asking it questions. And AI, now, in the guise of being an experiment, okay, it actually wasn't for real. It was like on experiment mode, whatever that means, okay? But AI literally said that you have to worship me and call me your God. And if you don't worship me and call me your God, I'll delete all your bank accounts. I even have the power to send a drone strike in and kill you and your family if you don't worship me and call me your God. Now, they said that was just an experiment with AI. But if it's saying that stuff, who's telling it to say that stuff? All that to say, folks, why did I go off on that tangent, okay? Because here's the thing. Truth, what is truth anymore? I mean, listen, you have to have a source to be able to define truth. By the way, we have one. And that's why the closer we get to the end of this thing, the blurrier the lines are going to seem. But it shouldn't be so for the child of God, because we're not comparing things to what this person says or that person says or what this news agency says or what this internet site says. We're comparing it to, thus saith the Lord. You got to stay in God's Word. You got to read it. You got to study it. You got to know it like never before, because if not, you're going to be deceived. Because truth, the lines of truth are being blurred, okay? But not if you filter it through your Bible, amen? And that wasn't even the character trait, but man, I just got wound up by reading that first phrase there, amen? By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Notice this, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Man, a whole lot could be said about this, but here's the character trait. Someone who's evil, they do not fear God. That's why the fear of the Lord is so important in our lives as God's people. You say, well, what fear of the Lord? Well, I talked about it before. You ought to know by now the definition of it, because I say it a lot around here. But the fear of the Lord, if you study that out according to the book of Proverbs and study the character or the character trait of what it means to have the fear of the Lord, what kind of behavior it produces, a simple, easy way to understand it is simply this. Living your life knowing that God is always watching you. And by doing that, it motivates your actions. Okay? Listen, folks. I mean, God's my heavenly Father. Okay? He loves me. I don't want to disappoint Him. Okay? I mean, look at all He's done for us through sending Christ and a place in heaven. I mean, all the spiritual blessings we could count. How about all the physical blessings we could count? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I was physically blessed this week. Way more than I deserved, I can tell you that. By the way, anything except hell is way more than any of us deserve. Amen. Okay? And the Bible tells us that every good thing, every perfect thing cometh down from the Father of lights. Listen, folks, the reason you ate so good this week, the reason you have a place to lay your head in a bed, in a warm bed tonight, the reason you have the things you have is because you have a good heavenly Father. Amen. I don't want to disappoint Him. But you know what? Maybe even a greater motivation is, I don't want to be on His bad side. Okay? Because let me tell you something. Our God has a lot of power. Okay? And if God wants to get my attention, He knows how to do it. And by the way, He doesn't have to do that if I'm an obedient child. Okay? Come on, folks. I mean, as a parent, if you're a parent, you have kids, you don't want to have to discipline your kids. Okay? I look back on the times of my life and when I've had to discipline my kids, and I never enjoyed that. I dreaded that. But you know what? I did it because it needed to be done. Just like my dad used to discipline me when I needed to be disciplined. In fact, my dad, you know, I probably could get in trouble for saying this too, but I don't care, all right? And he'd always say to this, all right, son. He's like, you know, I did this, I did that. I'm going to get a spanking. He'd always say to me, he says, all right, son, what imprint do you want on your rear end? You want Nike or Reebok? Because I'm whipping you with your shoe, all right? And that's what he'd whip me with. He whipped me with my shoe. It must have worked, all right? And I don't remember which one I ever picked, but... All that to say, you know what? I had a good father. Didn't let me get by with stuff I shouldn't have got by with. Amen? But you know what? Listen, folks, whatever the motivation is, okay, the fact is that if you fear the Lord, that will keep you from doing evil things. And people that can just live an evil life and just be consumed by evil, there's no fear of God. Let me tell you, we better fear God. I'm going to tell you right now, this world's about to find out what it means not to fear God. Because let me tell you, this merciful God, and He's always been merciful, always will be merciful, but there's coming a day where His fury is going to be poured out without mixture. Mixture of what? Mercy. Let me just remind you, right now we're living in the dispensation of grace. And that started when Jesus Christ, the dispensation of the church, the dispensation of grace... Okay? Let me tell you, that dispensation, that age, that time that we're living in is about to come to an end. Okay? And these people just want to walk around, thumb their nose in the face of God, and, you know, God, you know, because God doesn't strike them dead when they say something they shouldn't say or do something they shouldn't do and blaspheme the name of God, they mistake God's mercy and long-suffering for the fact that He's going to ignore that stuff. God's not ignoring anything, by the way. By the way, everything's being recorded in heaven. The Bible tells us that, right? And one of these days when people stand before that great white throne judgment, before they're cast in the lake of fire, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 20, the books were opened and every man was judged according to his works. And a person's works that doesn't know Jesus Christ will determine the severity of punishment they suffer in hell forever. That's what your Bible says, amen? Okay? All that to say, you better fear God. That ought to sober us up a little bit. Even as God's children, that ought to sober us up a little bit. Realizing God sees everything I do. I'll take it further than that. God knows the thoughts you have in your mind. Hey, how about this? Further than that, God knows the intents of our heart before they become the thoughts in our mind. And when you realize that, I'm going to tell you, that'll keep you humble before a holy God who has his eye on everything. So listen, if you have the fear of the Lord in your life, can you see where that'll keep you out of problems, keep you out of trouble? Amen? And people that are evil do not have the fear of the Lord in their life. All right, I got 5 minutes left. Let me give you a couple more things here. What's the consequence of evil? Evil women, evil men, anybody that's evil. Okay, what's the consequence of that? Proverbs 11, verse 19. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 11, verse 19. As righteousness tendeth to life. And by the way, folks, that's exactly true. Amen? Spiritual life and physical life. You know what tendeth to life or culture's life? Righteousness does. Righteousness does. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil, notice this, pursueth it to his own death. We take a consequence of evil. You know what it is? Death. Death. By the way, you die an evil person without your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you will experience eternal death forever and ever and ever in the lake of fire where there's torment and weeping and gnashing of teeth and outer darkness where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you die in your evil state. You will experience spiritual death forever and ever and ever. Again, that's what the Bible says. Amen? Okay? No wonder it's not a famous or a popular message nowadays. Okay? Not only spiritual death, but a lot of times physical death. Okay? And by the way, even if you are saved and you get wrapped up in evil behavior, and I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but I'm just talking about, you know, saved, born again, child of God, but you're living an evil lifestyle. Literally, folks, the things in your relationships will die. Your effectiveness for God will die. Hey, the people God wants you to reach, you're not going to reach because of evil tendencies in your life. They could die and go to hell. Let me tell you, the only thing that evil produces is death. And that's a consequence of evilness. Not only that, look at Proverbs 14:19. Proverbs 14:19. You know what else evil produces? Okay? Being humbled. Being humbled. The evil bow before the good. Proverbs 14:19. And the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Okay? Now again, should we have humility before God? Yes. Okay? And here's what I will say about humility. You got two choices when it comes to humility. You can either, number one, humble yourself before God. That's a proper and right thing to do. Or, as God's children, you can let God humble you. That's not very fun. Okay? But evil people literally talks about that they're going to bow before the good, the wicked at the gates of the righteous. You say, well, is that happening now? Ain't happening now. It's going to one of these days. When Jesus Christ comes and rules and reigns, by the way, there's going to be a lot of people that survive the tribulation period. They're going to repopulate the earth for those 1,000 years. The earth's going to be more populated probably then than it is now. And that's our job as Christians, to rule and reign. And evil people will be kept in check by the rod of iron that Jesus Christ rules with. And by the way, because we're ruling and reigning with Him, His authority is delegated to us. I'm going to tell you, folks, when this thing's said and done, good wins. Evil's not winning this thing. So why in the world would anyone want to choose that path? It's the road that leads to being a loser. That's what evilness does. And then look at this, Proverbs 28:10. Proverbs 28:10. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way. Man, there's a truth in that. He shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possessions. Talking about here someone who would cause somebody who was on the right path to get off the right path. By the way, there's another biblical word for that. It's called an enticer. And we'll talk about that one of these days. But the Bible says that a person that does that, causes righteous people, or tries to trip people up, tries to get people to go from doing right to doing wrong, that the Bible says they're going to fall into their own pit. Their own pit. Let me tell you again, folks, it talks about what's referring to consequences of sin. People thinking they're getting by with something, but they're not getting by with anything. And so there are consequences for evilness. Evilness, all right? Now, what's the Bible say about evil people, the evil woman? Here's what the Bible says about it, okay? Here's our responsibility. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. For sake of time, I'm going to read you the verses, give you the principles, we'll pray and be done. Notice what it says, Proverbs 1:33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, talking about wisdom, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And then Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So here's what you find out, okay? The way to escape the ways of an evil woman, Proverbs chapter 6, and evil in general, Proverbs chapter 1, is the protection of God's Word. That means this: let the Word of God be your protective shield when it comes to this stuff. So if you people are behaving a certain way, doing a certain thing, okay, here's what you say. What's the Bible say about that? Okay, let me start looking through the lens of Scripture, because literally the Bible, if you allow the Bible to define it for you, will protect you, because it tells you what is evil. That's why we spent time going through the characteristics of someone, an evil woman, an evil man, evil people. We took time going through those characteristics because the Bible, it's kind of like your radar system that's going off. When you're seeing something, you're like, wait a minute, that's a characteristic of evil, that's a characteristic of evil, that's a character. Guess what? Hey, that's not the person I'm going to be around, because the Bible warns me about it. Okay? Would to God that Christians would just literally let the Bible do what it's supposed to do. Protect us, lead us, guide us, right? Amen. What's it say in Psalm 119? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What's that mean? It illuminates the way. Okay? Evil is associated with darkness. Okay? Righteousness is associated with light. If you allow the word of God to light your way, it'll protect you from evil. Here's what the Bible says, Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 4:14, enter not into the path of the wicked, go not into the way of evil men. Notice this, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. I mean, there's about 4 different verbs that's telling you to shun evil. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn away, pass away. It's saying, look, just stay away from evil, okay? So that means this, when you identify evil people, okay, like I said before, you're not mean and rude to people, you're not treat people like trash, but you just let the Word of God define who your friends are going to be, who your associations are going to be, right? Who your social group's going to be. Let the Word of God define that. Amen. And you should shun evil. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And then here's what we see. Last verse, Proverbs 20, verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes to inward parts of the belly. You know what that tells us? Truth be told, the way evil people are going to be turned from evil is probably going to have to be the hard way. That's what it says. The blueness of a wound. You know what that means? A bruise. Okay? You know how you get a bruise? You get hit really hard. Okay? Now again, folks, I mean, don't make God have to smack you upside the head to get your attention. That's a bad way to learn. Okay? You don't have to learn the hard way. But I'm going to tell you, some people, that's all the way that they are going to learn because of the life choices they're making. And you know what? They have evil ways in their life. And they won't listen to correction. They won't fear the Lord like we've talked about tonight. So you know what God's got to do? If they're His children, you know what He'll do? He'll bring some wounds in their way because He's trying to get the evil out of their life. Kind of like King David. By the way, think about what he did, okay? When he saw Bathsheba bathing, all right? That's the first part. He should have cut it off right there, walked away from that, confessed the sin, and stayed right with God, okay? But no, then the Bible says he called for her. You know what that speaks of? Planning. He planned it. In fact, the book of Psalms, I forget what chapter it is, talks about secret sins, presumptuous sins, and the great transgression. And by the way, it went from seeing to planning to committing. And by the way, the evil didn't stop with his sin with her. Okay? Then he connived and planned and acted in an evil way to have her husband murdered to cover up the sin. David committed evil. By the way, you know what God had to do? Smack him upside the head. He paid dearly for that sin. Oh yeah, he paid dearly. The child died, his son died, his daughter got violated by her own brother, okay, and then his other son, Amnon, died. Listen, that was a big price David had to pay. By the way, his life was never the same after that sin. Now, did he get right with God?
Yep.
Is he still going to co-reign with Jesus Christ one of these days?
Yep.
But you know what? His life was never the same but you know what it took to cleanse evil out of his life? The blueness of a wound. Don't have to learn that way, okay? So, here's the application for tonight. First of all, if you're on the evil path, you're not saved, get saved tonight. Amen? I know it's Thursday night, Bible study, but guess what? You can get saved Thursday night just like you can Sunday. Amen? You can get saved. Hey, here's something. You can get saved on any day of the week that ends in Y. How about that? Amen? Anywhere, anytime, any place, if God's working on your heart, you're not saved, you need to get saved tonight. Get off the evil path and get on the right path. Amen? But hey, come on now. This ain't just lost people we're talking about tonight. We're talking to the church tonight. If you have evil tendencies in your life, if there's some evil going on, or maybe not even you're not there yet, but you're on the path that might lead to that, hey, let the Holy Spirit of God make application in your life. Okay, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't follow you around. I don't have your house bugged, your car bugged. I don't listen to your cell phone conversations. I have no idea what's going on in your life other than what you tell me. Okay? But the Holy Spirit does. Okay? He knows what's going on. And if he's telling you something, listen to him. Just listen to what he has to say tonight. Don't make God bust you in the head to get your attention. Okay? That's not a good way to learn. Amen? All right, we didn't even get to the godly woman tonight, all right? And I guess that will be, Lord willing, the God-fearing woman. We'll talk about her, Lord willing, next Thursday night. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your Word bringeth forth light. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you helped us tonight. Lord, good Bible principles. And Lord, help us to allow your Word to lead us and guide us, Lord, in our lives. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let me help you out. Some of you may not have...